There's ways to prevent crystals from happening. One of them is adding a little bit of an acid ingredient, such as lemon juice or cream of tartar, that helps break up the sucrose or the sugar into the fructose and glucose. Another way, which is pretty easy to do, is use a recipe that has corn syrup in it, because that has more glucose in it, and that helps prevent crystals from forming. Another thing is fat. So when you're making fudge or toffee, it typically has butter in it. That fat in the butter, or if you got cream in the recipe, that fat is going to get in the way and prevent crystals from forming too.
For many, the holidays aren't the holidays without homemade fudge and peanut brittle. However, making fudge and peanut brittle can be challenging. A Kansas State University food scientist says that's because science is involved. From the ingredients you use to temperature and even how humid it is on the day you make it. On today's Sound Living, tips for making holiday fudge and peanut brittle. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. Kansas State University food scientist and the coordinator of the university's Rapid Response Center, Karen Blakesley, says there are a number of steps involved in making old-fashioned holiday candy, such as fudge and peanut brittle. Karen, people make candy throughout the year, but really this is kind of the time we're entering now where people tend to do things that maybe they don't do on a regular basis. And when we talk about holiday candy, really candy in general, two types of categories that we're looking at?
That's right. There are what's called the crystalline type candies and the non-crystalline type candies. So the crystalline type candies, they actually have little tiny crystals in them. So fudge or fondant are two examples. The trick is, how small are those little crystals as opposed to how big they are? I've heard people ask about, well, my fudge is grainy. Well, that's because the crystals just didn't get dissolved, or you didn't stir it fast enough or at the right temperature. So there's a lot of factors that go into that as far as what size those little crystals are. The smaller, the better if you want a nice, smooth fudge. Now, non-crystalline candy, such as lollipops or taffy or caramels, typically do not contain crystals. All of this depends on temperature, which is critical to making any kind of candy, to get the right type of candy that you want in the end. So there's a lot of other things, but temperature is really important, and the moisture. A humid day is probably not the best day to make candy. It's best to do it on a cool, dry day. If it's raining outside, may not be the best day to do that, because there's too much moisture in the air. And as you're cooking, that candy mixture can pull in moisture from the air, and then it's harder to get it out.
So the crystals then are really the sugar?
Yeah, it's part of the sugar. It's getting the sugar in the right formation. So when you cook candy mixture, that sugar gets saturated because the moisture is being driven off and the sugar saturates. Now, there are things that can happen that cause crystalline to form, because saturation, the sugar itself is usually gets divided into fructose and glucose. That's what makes up sucrose, which is sugar. But if the fructose and glucose get allowed to merge back together, then the crystals will start forming. Think of it as like Lego pieces. And if they're uneven kinds of Lego pieces, they don't fit together very well. You want them to be even. So it's better if they're more even, that way the crystal doesn't form. There's ways to prevent crystals from happening. One of them is adding a little bit of an acid ingredient, such as lemon juice or cream of tartar, that helps break up the sucrose or the sugar into the fructose and glucose. Another way, which is pretty easy to do, is use a recipe that has corn syrup in it, because that has more glucose in it, and that helps prevent crystals from forming. Another thing is fat. So when you're making fudge or toffee, it typically has butter in it. That fat in the butter, or if you got cream in the recipe, that fat is going to get in the way and prevent crystals from forming too. A lot of fudge recipes will have sweetened condensed milk in it. So that is an easy way to make fudge, because that cream, that fat that's in there, will help keep your fudge nice and smooth.
I know we've talked about this in the past, but really any kind of baking, when we're talking about making candy or whatever, it really is a science, and that's one of the reasons why we encourage people to follow directions and use trusted recipes.
Absolutely, yeah. This really is a science, and temperature is probably the most critical thing in making any kind of candy. Make sure you've got a good candy thermometer, whether it's the one that has the bulb on it, or an instant read type thermometer that really reads the temperature quickly, which can be very beneficial. So make sure your candy thermometer is reading properly. You might want to calibrate it, boil some water and put that thermometer in there and make sure it's getting up to 212 degrees. And then if it's not quite there, then you need to adjust based on that reading, what temperatures you really need to reach. Besides that, and a dry day, cooking to the proper temperature for the type of candy that you're making, and that varies widely. So it goes from the thread stage, which is really just a sugar syrup, clear up to the dark caramel stage, which is really a deeply dark caramely flavor. It's almost burnt, it is. But the temperature ranges go from the thread stage is minimum of about 230 to the dark caramel stage, which goes up to 350. And it gets that high a temperature because you're removing the moisture from the mixture and the sugar concentrates, and that allows the temperature to go up. The other thing is to use clean utensils. It's better to use a wooden spoon as opposed to a metal spoon because metal holds a lot of heat. That can affect how your candy turns out. Same thing with the cooking pot that you use. Something that's heavy metal, like a heavy stainless steel pan, would work better than an aluminum pan because it helps conduct heat more evenly and more slowly. And speaking of the heat, you know, if a recipe says to bring it to a boil, bring that temperature up slowly. Don't turn it on high and get it immediately up there. That can really destroy things. So be patient with it. So a nice, heavy, smooth, deep, clean pan. Measuring your ingredients is really important. Don't guess at this because it is a balance between the sugar and the fat and sometimes water and then if you add chocolate to it and all that. So make sure you measure things accurately. And speaking of ingredients, don't substitute ingredients. You know, if it calls for cream, you don't want to use whole milk. That's just not going to work right because it really needs that fat. This is one time when it's not a good idea to substitute ingredients because it really could affect the outcome of the product itself. And also, don't double a batch. Make one recipe at a time. If you double the batch, that could affect how it heats up and how it affects the cooking of it and getting it cooked properly. And it'll probably fail. That's the other thing. And then one thing that usually happens, especially with making fudge, is you've gone through the cooking process and you're ready to stir it, and then you start scraping the sides of the pan. What's on the sides of the pan is typically sugar crystals. If you incorporate those back into the fudge, it's going to get really grainy and probably seize up. So be very careful about that. You can, as you're cooking on most of these, you can take a pastry brush dipped in water and brush down the sides of the pan to dissolve those crystals before it goes back into the candy. Another way you could do it is simply put the lid on the pan, and that steam will melt whatever's on the sides of the pan back into the mixture. And so that should help with that.
Also, we want to make sure that we're following the steps in the proper order. I know sometimes we think, well, I can skip a step and come back to it. Not when you're doing this.
No, you really do need to get things into the right order. I mean, typically you start by dissolving the sugar. And if you're adding corn syrup, you add it at that stage. The chocolate usually comes in at the end, like in a fudge. So be mindful of that. Don't just dump everything in the pan and think it's going to turn out. It's probably not going to turn out very well. Be patient with it because you do want to have good product in the end. Now, some people like grainy fudge. That's the way they like it. And hey, more power to you, you know, if that's the way you like it. So,
yeah, and some people like it smooth and some people
exactly.
Like it with nuts, right?
Right. And the other thing, speaking of nuts and other additional ingredients like peppermint candy or chocolate chips or nuts or whatever, if you toast the nuts before you put them in there, let them cool to room temperature before you add them into the mixture, because sometimes that temperature change can shock your candy mixture, so be careful about that. Something like Divinity, that one takes a little finesse to make that because you're working with egg whites to start with, raw egg whites, and so you beat those up, and then you slowly pour the cooked sugar mixture into the egg whites and keep beating that. That's tricky because how fast or slow you pour that can make or break your Divinity, and it can either turn out really beautiful or it can be dried up and seized. So it takes some practice on all of this.
What about peanut brittle? Because I know some people like it kind of airy and have a little bit of bubbles in it. Others like it to be really smooth, and some like a thick, some like a thin.
Sure. So peanut brittle, like you said, can be a couple different ways. If you want to have that airy texture to it, that's what baking soda does. And you'll see recipes that say to add a real small amount of baking soda. And when you put that in there, you'll see that brittle mixture just foam up. And then you immediately get it onto your pan to spread it out and let it cool. So that baking soda is what helps create that open texture. And it's actually easier to chew because it's not so hard. But if you want the harder peanut brittle texture, you can leave the baking soda out. And then you'll get that hard, crunchy texture. Sometimes things like in making toffee or peanut brittle, sometimes the fat might separate out. You know, a lot of that, again, goes back to the temperature that you're cooking things to. And it can also happen in fudge. It can turn out to be oily. So, again, get that candy thermometer out and use that to your benefit because that can really save a lot of grief in the end.
What about in terms of storage for, say, fudge and peanut brittle?
Yeah, storage for pretty much all kinds of candy. Keep it in some kind of airtight container at room temperature. Freezing is really not, it can work for some things, but for some things, especially something like Divinity, freezing is probably not a good option. Typically leaving them at room temperature. And a lot of these, you pack them airtight. Some things should be wrapped individually, like caramels. For example, if you're making caramel pieces, wrap those in some kind of plastic wrap or even using wax paper or something like that. That way they don't stick together. That helps prevent moisture absorbing back into the candy. So use some kind of airtight container, whether it's a reclosable bag or a plastic container to squeeze the air out somehow, and then keep them at room temperature and they should be fine.
I'm thinking that fudge and peanut brittle may not be where we want to start if we're new to making candy. What might be something that we could tackle that would give us some good results and be kind of fun?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of simple ways to make candy, and there's all kinds of fudge recipes out there. There's some that have the marshmallow cream in them. That can really make it easy because that marshmallow cream helps prevent crystals from happening, and it's like, I get the perfect kind of fudge out every time I use this recipe. You know, everybody has their favorite recipe. But even something like making peanut butter balls or taking pretzels and dipping them into chocolate or the what's called almond bark, that is pretty fail-proof. So that's really easy. And that would be a great thing for kids to help make. And that adds a little fun to it. And then they can add, you know, little sprinkles on top of it, and you can make it a family affair that way.
Is it still a thing to do this as a gift? Is that still something we can do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It gives you that homemade taste to gift to somebody, and you can be creative on how you package it up, make it look very Christmassy, and it's great for a little teacher's gifts or, you know, maybe somebody at church that you Sunday school teachers and things like that. So, yeah, it's a special thing. And Christmas is the time of year when a lot of people do this. Between now, probably, and Valentine's Day is when candy making really happens. So have fun with it. You know, don't fret over if it doesn't work out. That usually you can fix it. You can always melt down fudge and put it on top of ice cream if you have to. So don't let it go to waste either.
That's Kansas State University food scientist Karen Blakesley with information on making old-fashioned holiday candy. For more information, contact your county or district extension office. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.